easiest way to remember us is just 99.1
and 92.3
FM Talk.
John Potter live and local, and he's back with us again on the phone. It's Greg Kidd, our running as a nonpartisan for Nevada's 2nd Congressional District, and that probably means you folks out there. Hello, Mr. Kidd. Welcome back.
Hi. Thanks for having me back.
Well, how's it going? How's the campaign going, my friend? You still there, sir? How's the connection? Does it sound okay for you?
Does it sound good? Here, let me try it on a... I'm more concerned
if you can hear me.
How's that? Is that better?
Oh, you sound great. Do you hear me?
Okay. I hear you just fine.
All right. Super. Well, first off, what are people telling you as you, you've been around all the towns in Nevada from every time I checked here in either one of our rural towns or you're here in Reno, and you're really working hard at this campaign. What are people telling you, Mr. Kidd?
Well, first of all, they've seen the ads. They now know who I am.
That is a bad connection. Hey, Phil?
First order. Yep.
Okay, yes, you are. Unfortunately, sir, you're breaking up at the moment. Okay. We're going to have you breaking up. Yeah, we're going to have you call back, Mr. Kidd, if you could do that. I'd appreciate it.
Oh.
Yeah, okay, great. All right, super. Phil, watch for that. I see the other lines are ringing, so screen those and find out who they are. I'm John Potter. You know that voice in your head that tells you not to do something? Mine bets me $5 I can't. We are going to be open topic starting at 11:30 after we talk to Mr. Kidd. I want to ask him personally. Now, listen, all my questions have been answered already with Greg Kidd because he's been on twice before. So what we're doing this time is asking you folks to ask the questions. And Phil already has all the text questions that people have been texting in. You can also call in. 775-884-9910. There he is again. Hi, Mr. Kidd.
Hello.
Gotcha. Okay. So, all right, let's start with the basics. How's the campaign going?
Campaign is terrific. Been out on the rural tour, meeting some folks, going to some football games, going to the Wolfpack today.
Super. All right. What are people telling you on the campaign trail?
Well, people now know my name, and so that was the first thing. They're still curious about what free, fair, and wild means. They've seen the Ford Bronco. They like the Ford Bronco, and so they want to know just what this campaign's about, and there's a debate coming up this week, and they're looking forward to the debate.
Oh, you're in a debate this week.
That's right, on the 16th. There'll be a debate, and then it'll be streamed. So that's the first debate of the campaign.
Did not know this. Okay. All right. So Thursday, the 16th, how can people watch with Mr. Amadei? He's going to debate you, huh?
That's correct. On the Nevada Independent, they'll be hosting the debate, and it'll be streamed. I'm not sure if it'll be streamed live, but we'll stream it both. I'm sure he'll stream it, and we'll stream it. So everybody will be able to see us in the same room having a go.
Awesome. Okay. So that would be the NevadaIndependent.com. And your site is kidfornevada.com.
Kid for Nevada. That's correct.
It's odd to call you Mr. Kidd. I don't know. I'll have to get over that. Let me ask you, what is the deal with the Ford Bronco that you mentioned? People love seeing the Ford Bronco. What's the deal with that?
Well, that's actually a company I'm invested in, and we're buying up old Ford Broncos, and we're basically doing a rails-up restoration, and that's one of the first ones that rolled off the assembly line. It's got a Ford Coyote engine in it, so it's got a little bit of extra grunt from what it used to have when they first came out. But they're better than new, but they're all from the 1960s.
A monster engine? Is it a gas engine?
Or that one is a gas engine. Same engine as in a Ford F-150.
Oh, yeah. Well, I thought you were a greenie myself.
Well, I've got both. I've got some electric cars, but I like classic cars, so I've got a few petrol head cars as well. So I like both.
Well, I got to say, I think you're catching on to a degree. I think it's going to be a more interesting and a closer race. I'm starting to see your green yard signs on my long morning hikes every morning. How do people, first off, your supporters, how do they get the green yard signs?
Just go to that same website. You already had the name, and there's a comment that you type in, and we'll get back to you. We have a number of mobile pickup places. One's over on 140 Vassar Street. We got a whole bunch of signs there. But we often have mobile pickups, too, at the events, and we'll let folks know where to get the latest batch of signs. Thanks,
right.
Thanks for mentioning that.
Yeah, you have a campaign office on Vassar Street in Reno, huh?
Well, I wouldn't call it a campaign office, but that's our crash pad, 140 Vassar Street, just down in Midtown.
Okay. All right, let's get to the questions other folks have for you, Mr. Kidd. Okay, so Phil, tell me what, let's start with the first one. Go ahead, Phil.
Well, the first one says, could you ask Greg if he would have voted on the company's, on the compromise immigration bill that Trump felt was no good for the country?
Well, yes, I would have. It was actually a bill that was started by a very conservative Republican from my state where I have a bank, Langford, who, at the bequest of Mitch McConnell, put that together, and most all Republicans were for it until they weren't. And in this election cycle, folks just haven't wanted it. It was supported by the Border Guard. It was the toughest piece of immigration legislation in history. But let's be frank, no immigration legislation is going to get passed in a campaign year. It's just too political.
All right. Let's go to the next one. Phil, what do you have? Phil, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm right here. Okay. We have one from Betty. Please ask Mr. Kidd what his plan on asset value versus commercial value is.
Well, I'm not quite sure I understand that. Usually asset value and commercial value are the same thing. Is someone suggesting that they are not the same thing?
Unfortunately, that's the whole question. I was kind of hoping you knew what it meant.
Well, sometimes people have a depreciated value and versus a, which is the market value. And so some sorts of assets wear out and become worthless, but houses usually don't. People usually don't use up a house after 20 years and then throw it away. And so I think the value of a house should be what the value of a house is. Like, it should be what people are willing to pay for it. And so it's just sort of common market economic sense. And so I'm pretty old school in that. I just think that things are worth what they're worth. They're worth what somebody's willing to pay for it.
Yeah.
So that's my view of things.
We're getting into that, your property tax opinion issue that created a bit of a firestorm. As a federal office, being in the House of Representatives, you do not deal with property taxes.
Yeah, I want to be... I want to be very clear. We don't have anything to do with that. I don't have anything to do with it. Just if people ask my personal opinion, I just think things are worth what the market says they're worth. And I just want to reiterate, if I do believe that senior citizens should get a break, but you take what it's worth. And if we think senior citizens should only pay half or a quarter, that's fine. I think senior citizens should get a break and they should be able to stay in their houses. Without having to pay necessarily full boat. I just want to make sure that was clear, because I'm not sure that came across live.
Well, you're very open with your opinions, but are you sorry that you put that on your campaign website, what you thought about property taxes?
No, I still think people should pay based on what it's worth, not based on some crazy accounting formula. So, no, I think that's a...
accounting formula has been saving... people with older homes a lot of money.
No, there's other ways to save people with... if an old person comes in and buys a house, it's not going to save them anything. They're going to pay a huge amount. I want older people and senior citizens to pay less across the board, not just if they've had a house for a long time. For instance, if a senior citizen downsizes, and moves into a smaller house, I don't want them to have to pay a huge amount of tax on that just because they moved into a small house when they downsized. They shouldn't just get a break when they've had the house for a long time. They should get a break because they're senior citizens. Every senior citizen ought to get a break, not just ones that have had their houses for a long time.
Yeah, I'll only say one more thing about it. When you say that you want to base it on market value, the market values have skyrocketed here. And the older homes with their depreciations did help out several people that we heard from. But you have alternate ideas for senior citizens to pay less?
Sure.
But
also, if market values have skyrocketed, you can just lower the tax rate. You don't have to basically raise the tax rate or keep the tax rate this high if value's gone. So I'm not suggesting people pay more in taxes. I just say, if two people own the same house, you know, they ought to pay the same amount. And if they're a senior citizen, they ought to get a discount.
Yes. Although your goal was to get more property tax for education.
Well, I just think that's one of the things that's done with property tax. I think it's probably not a great thing for Nevada to be last in terms of funding for schools. It's made it really tough for us to compete, you know, as a state for talent and whatnot. So I am encouraging Nevada to not be in last place. I want them to move up the rank. I'm not saying we have to be in first place, but I think last place is, I think we can do better than that.
Great. Okay. Greg, anything else you want to bring up before we take a break and then come back with you?
Happy to take a break. Looking forward to the next set of questions.
All right. Good. All right. We'll take a break right now. Then Phil has a couple more text questions. And folks, you can call in too. I guess we can manage that, can't we, Phil? 775.
We can.
Oh, good. All right. 775-884-9910. I'm John Potter with congressional candidate Greg Kidd, who is Mark Amadei's, one of his opponents in the race for District 2 for the House seat in Nevada. We'll take the break right now on 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk Time, 1118.
This is where Nevada comes to hear and talk about the news in Nevada. 99.1 FM Talk.
News Time, 99.1 and 92.3.
Hi, folks. Welcome back. Welcome back. John Potter live and local on the air with Greg Kidd running for Congress, Nevada District 2. I just checked out your Facebook page. You are, folks, if you want to meet him, the pro-choice weekend of action at Wingfield Park. Oh, so you're in Reno today at 10 o'clock noon and 2 p.m. And how's that going? Let me see. That already started. Is that where you're calling from?
I'm not sure. I mean, I'm just calling right now from 140 Vassar, our command center. But
I guess
I'll be at the Wolfpack. I'll be at the tailgate party later on.
Oh,
did I put something
see.
On my calendar?
I see. It's promoting the weekend of action, October 12th, 13th. Doesn't quite say that you're going to be there, but that you support it. I'm picking this up from your Facebook page. All right. Now, you yourself and people can also email you. Your address is right there on the Facebook page, your Greg Kidd Facebook page. And what questions have you been getting yourself, Mr. Kidd? We just gave you some of the text questions we've received from listeners, and let's run through some of the questions you got. Go ahead.
Well, some people ask, like, what am I going to do in Congress? Have I ever been there before? Do I know how it works? That's what one of the questions has been. And I like to remind people, I used to work for the Federal Reserve, and we work with both Democrats and Republicans to get legislation passed. And so it won't be my first trip to the rodeo for working in Congress and getting bills passed. And so I've worked on bills where I have both Republicans and Democrats on board. And, you know, you need enough to get anything done in Congress. And, you know, Congress hasn't gotten much done in this last term. It's the least productive session in the history of Congress. And, you know, I hope to be voting for things and getting bills passed. So I want to change that when I'm in Washington.
You know, based on the reaction we got, you must have had some questions or comments regarding your choice of presidential candidates, which is Kamala Harris. Have people questioned you about that decision, sir?
Oh, sure. Especially since they know that given some of my business interests, my interests have been much more aligned with some of the policies of the Trump administration. I obviously I mean, there was a big tax cut for billionaires under the, and, you know, people with well-to-do folks under the Trump administration. So I have paid a lot less taxes, but I'm actually comfortable paying a bit more. And I am, from a values point of view, I just want to make sure that people aren't, I don't know, I was just raised a bit different. And so we're not used to doing personal attacks. And so from a temperament point of view and a values point of view, I'm going to go with the Harris campaign, even though I have a lot of interests that are aligned with the Trump campaign. So I have sympathies on both sides, but I'm going to vote values rather than interests in this election.
And you're running a nonpartisan with no political party. Are you still registered as a Republican personally?
I think I am still registered as a Republican. I registered as a Republican when I moved to Nevada. I filed nonpartisan. And so I think it was interesting. There was an attack ad saying there's no shame in being a Democrat. And I don't believe there is. I just never have been one. I've worked again with Democrats and Republicans. I think it was interesting that I think people forget Mark Amadei used to be a Democrat during the Reagan days. And so I agree with him. There is no shame in being a Democrat. It's just that I'm not one. I am nonpartisan. I've worked with both parties and I'll continue to work with both parties.
And your email address, info@kidfornevada.com. What other questions did you receive?
Well, people are very, very concerned about things like affordable housing, the cost of living and whatnot. And, you know, I am a big, and ask, well, what are you going to do different? I says, well, big thing I'm going to do different is when there's money in a bill and it's for Nevada, if it's good for Nevada, I don't care whether Republican or Democrat put it out there, I'm going to vote for it. Nevada, currently, we pay in a buck. We only get back 88 cents, so we're not getting our fair share. You know, New Mexico, Arizona, they're all doing a lot better on that. I want Nevada to get at least a buck back for every buck we put in. So, you know, those potholes in the road get fixed. You know, we have fast internet. Anything we can do to basically improve Nevada, I'm going to put that before any political party affiliation.
Your website says you want to bring more high-value industry to the region. And what kind of industry would that be, sir?
So we're really, really good at the gambling industry. We're really good at looking out for fraud and money laundering. So this would be a great place for some of the fintech businesses like digital wallets, remittances, all those financial institutions. Only 3% of deposits in Nevada are sitting in Nevada banks. The other 97% out-of-state banks. I want to have our money stay in the state with our banks and financial institutions so it's easier for people to get a low-cost loan. So I want to have Nevada be more for Nevada. And so I'm looking to bring businesses in, distribution too. When I came here, I didn't know that Reno's a port. Things come off the port in California and Oakland. They come on the train out here. They unload. Those are great jobs for folks that might just have a high school diploma or not even a high school diploma. So I want to see jobs besides just gambling and just mining. So we're good at distribution. We're good at financial services. You know, we could be like Austin is to Texas or the Research Triangle is to North Carolina. That's just better paying jobs for our folks here.
And I'll have to say, you know, you sounded like you were minimizing mining in a way, but on your website,
I love mining.
That's what your website says. That's why I wanted to clarify that you are a big supporter of mining, which is good for a lot of people who have those high-paying jobs here.
I am. I mean, this used to be the Silver State. In fact, the Silver Party, that was the party in America that worked with both Democrats and Republicans. Nevada has a long history. We push silver as a secondary standard to gold. I love the Carson City Mint. I'm a coin collector, you know. I like all forms of money, not just the U.S. dollar, but also silver and gold as well. And we have the lithium. We have the largest lithium reserve in the world. This could be the most prosperous region, state, country, you know, in the world, led by our minerals and human capital too. But let's make no mistake, this is the richest mineral district in the United States of America.
Are you still in business? Because you're an entrepreneur, are you still doing that? Or is this a retirement thing that you're running for office?
Well, I am at a point in my life where I'm switching over to giving back. And so I have a great team. I did buy a nationally chartered bank this year in Oklahoma. That's why I'm so familiar with the immigration legislation, because that was led from Oklahoma, you know, sort of one of the reddest states in the country. And also, you know, I work for the National Outdoor Leadership School, Wyoming. So, you know, I've been involved in those activities, but I got a great team. They've given me the boot and said, Greg, we've got this. You go out there, start giving back. You're free to work on the political front. And so I'm happy for the change of jobs, but you know, the business interests are still there, but they're not managed by me anymore. But I've gotten the, you know, I've gotten the kick out and kick upstairs. And so super happy to be in Nevada now, my new state, and I'll be working to represent people here. That's my new job.
Did you say you bought a bank? Did I hear that wrong?
I did. 80%. It's Vast Bank in Tulsa, Oklahoma. It used to be the oil capital of this country till it moved more to Houston. And OCC, regulated bank, Fed oversight. And so one of the first people who's been involved in the fintech industry that's been allowed to buy a nationally chartered bank. So I'm stoked about that. And I hope to bring that bank to Nevada as well.
All right, Mr.
That's
Kim.
One of the big ambitions.
Final minute. Your closing statement, sir. Go ahead.
Well, look, closing statement is, hey, everybody knows Congress hasn't been getting anything done. Okay. And so it's time to stop voting just based on pleasing your party, whether that's on the left or the right. It's time to vote for what's good for Nevada. And that's my promise to you. No money from special interest groups. I'll work with Democrats. I'll work with Republicans. I hope every nonpartisan comes out to vote. I hope everyone comes out to vote on November 5th. Free, fair, and wild. Be there. Looking forward to the next 3 weeks. Thank you for the time today.
Yeah. What's your next appearance? One more question. What's your next appearance within our listening area?
Doc, you know, I got to look at the football schedule. I mean, but today, I don't know if folks, I know your listening area is out in the rurals, but are folks coming in for the UNR, you know, for the game, the Wolfpack game today? That's where I'm going to be. I'm going to be at the tailgate party. I'll have to look at the schedule, but I go where they tell me to go.
Okay, sir.
My team is the boss of me for the next 3 weeks.
That's politics. All right. Greg Kidd, thank you, sir, for clearing up things and answering questions. Folks, it's kidfornevada.com is his website. Always a pleasure. Thank you, Kidd, Mr. Kidd.
Thank you so much for today. Take care.
All right. Yeah. Take care, sir. It's 11. Bye. Kidd, Mr. Kidd. 11:31 is our time. I'm John Potter. Going to break for Fox News. It's Open Topics now. 884-9910 is our phone number. I would be happy and honored to take your call about anything. 884-9910. That's 775-884-9910. We'll run through those calls next after Fox News. This is 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. FM News Talk time, 11:32.
99.1. The FM News and Talk of Northern Nevada.
Welcome to FM News Talk 99.1 and 92.3 FM. News, talk, truth.
And welcome back. Welcome back, my friends. John Potter, live and local every Saturday, 9 to noon on these radio stations. Let's go to the phone, 775-884-9910. Thanks for your calls. We have two lines open. Let's go to Rob in Reno. Hey, Ron, I'm glad you called. Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. Hey, no, I just wondered, you know, I guess it's a hypothetical at this point, but I, you know, the Trump campaign has completely taken hostile fire from all the legacy networks, ABC, CBS, NBC, and so on. They'll do any interview, anytime, and debates as well. They'll go and, you know, they'll answer questions for any debate team that they want off those channels. Why not? Why haven't they been, you know, pushing harder to secure an interview on Fox News, or not interview, I'm sorry, a debate on Fox News where the, you know, Madam Vice President and her running mate are going to get a lot of tough questions that are slanted maybe a little bit to the right? Or why not? I mean, the other side's done their thing. Why can't they face the music on our side? And why doesn't the Trump campaign kind of assure that?
My first reaction is to tell you that I don't think you'll get Kamala to go on Fox News. I think that's already been proposed. Didn't Trump say, I want to have a debate on Fox News and nothing came of it? I seem to recall that happening past couple of weeks.
I know Brett Baer and Martha McCollum have put it out several times. I thought the latest was that the Trump team wasn't interested in doing another debate, but I thought maybe, you know, with the playing field being leveled, why not? I guess I was looking for insight what your thoughts are on that, other than, you know, because I understand, well, like, of course, Kamala, she can't face the fire.
You know, I'm not that eager to see another debate because the last two, the moderators ruined it.
Absolutely.
You know, and
absolutely.
It it just I've kind of don't want to see another one. I don't know if we can fully trust even Fox News on TV that much, to be honest with you. So I enough of the debates. They did a terrible job so far, and we had to sit through two of them, and just not eager myself to see it. Anything else, Rob?
No, I think that was it, gents. But cheers for what you're doing. You guys do a really great job, and look forward to hearing you guys every time. Yeah.
All right, my friend. Take care. Well, this week, after avoiding on the same topic here, after avoiding the press since her campaign began, Kamala Harris did sit down for the absolute friendliest interviews her campaign could find this week. I mean, it was a week of softballs, smiles, and fawning. I mean, CBS and ABC outdid themselves. Not one tough question from her friends on The View. And the CBS late night show with Stephen Colbert, she was on that. Talk about friendly. Stephen Colbert got out some beers, and the two of them just laughed and drank some Millers. Here's the deal. If you're sitting next to Stephen Colbert and he's your lifeline, then you're in trouble. Then she was on 60 Minutes, which later was exposed for misleadingly, I guess, editing Kamala Harris's answers to cover up her nonsensical word salad answers. She had no clue how to answer some of the most basic questions, so they had to splice and chop her answers in order to try to formulate a coherent sentence on 60 Minutes. You know, as a very young journalist, I looked up to that show. But lately, there have been times lately, I call them 60 liars. And the most important, the most damaging lie on that news program is the lie of omission. And they're not alone. The majority of our national news media at times seems no different than a Russia news media. Yes, harsh words. Anyway, I got to bring up Fox News because I want to give some sincere kudos to Tim Walz this week, who appeared and took much tougher questions on Fox News this week, just like I remember Bernie Sanders did when he was running for the Democrat nomination for president. So much, much respect. Again, I wish Tim Walz was leading that ticket. If I were a Democrat, I would want that. But in politics, wishes are for fools, right? Also, regarding the campaign, President Biden has been making some pretty disturbing comments about the upcoming election. Basically, it's all, from what I heard, it's all if you vote for Trump type fear-mongering. You know, last week, the president warned of the possibility that former President Trump and his followers will not handle the 2024 presidential election peacefully. Biden, he appeared October 4th, it was, I think, at the White House. That was the press briefing for the first time that he's done in ages, and he showed up there, and the reason he showed up was to boast about the job numbers. That's why he showed up there. So boasting about what the, I should say, not the job numbers, I should say boasting about what the government says are the job numbers. I still have a little doubt on that. But Biden expressed concerns about how Trump is going to respond to the election, given his false claims surrounding the 2020 contest. And Biden said, I don't know whether it will be peaceful. The things that Trump has said and the things that he said last time out when he didn't like the outcome of the election were very dangerous. No, stop the fear-mongering. Joe's comments here, they sounded an awful lot like a dog whistle there. His zealots are so very rational and peaceful that they would never try to assassinate Trump, right, or riot over perceived injustices. The hypocrisy is rich this year. But if he quits saying things like this, the election will be peaceful. there will be no civil war, no social disruption, no rioting in the streets, because we are not that way. We have disagreed for almost 250 years, fighting over politics in a way that most of the world can't comprehend, as bitter and divisive and personal in the days of Washington as in the days of Trump. And there has never been a time in the governance of our republic where there hasn't been intense, deeply held beliefs argued with anger and at times hostility and instability, but we are strong. You don't guide a free people by holding hands and singing campfire songs. There's got to be that kind of discussion. You do it by the fight, standing firm in our beliefs and interests. It's how we roll, and it's how we've always rolled. We're not weak. We don't give up. We're passionate about our country, and recent claims that these times are different are just simply historically false, and history was my favorite topic in school. We are Americans. We give a damn, and it's worked out. Compared to other countries, we've steered a steady course, accomplishing more, advancing the interests of humankind better than any nation in the history of the world. And we've done it for two reasons: because the people are good and our Constitution is better. So no, there's not going to be any civil war. There's no social disruption, no rioting in the streets. No matter how much our enemies at home and afar wish it, no matter how much the socialists in this country hope to sow the seeds of a revolution and hatred along the lines of class and race, Donald Trump's enemies have prosecuted him and persecuted him, and one has shot him, and there was not a riot or rampage. America did not burn that night. The crowd did not loot or attack. People saw, they helped where they could, they prayed for the wounded, and the country, and quietly and peacefully, went home. We're not Nazis. We're not a threat to democracy. We're not supporters of a tyrant or extremists. We're just conservatives, okay? We are not bigots. We don't hate people because of their color or their creed. We are not any of the things the politicians and the media make us think we are. It wasn't the man on the roof back then who was the American norm. It was the man in the stands. And we'll win, as we always have won. The sky is not falling, the world is not ending, and America is not wavering, and that's my view. And I keep in mind, God may tell you who to vote for, but he won't tell you who anybody else should vote for. And don't let the TV news tell you either. And the politicians, focus on proclaiming your principles, not attacking others with different principles. Much appreciated. And I'm sure they're going to stick to that from now on. But Mr. President, to already say there's going to be trouble, and I don't know whether it's going to be peaceful, the things that Trump has said and the things he said last time when he didn't like the outcome of the election were very dangerous. Well, you're wrong, and you're setting things up and giving people ideas, and I think that's terrible. Let's go to William. Sorry you waited on the phone here. I get carried away. Apologize. Let me take my podium down. I was making a speech. William, calling from Reno. Good morning. I'm glad you called.
All right, John. Hey, I went out to a Boomtown yesterday evening and listened to a guy give a presentation. His name was Edward Solomon. S-L-O-L-O-M-O-N. He was a statistician, mathematician, and he outlined how the last election and the one coming up are going to be stolen, not by anything having to do with counting ballots, because that's illegal once they've been put into the system. It's bet on mathematic algorithms. And this guy's really interesting. He was here from Long Island.
All right. Well, and, sorry we missed him.
And I got...
you know what? I know it sounded good to you, obviously, but...
No. Let me say...
Okay. We're out of time on this break. I'm sorry, William. I got the gist of what you had to say there. All I have to say is just do your research and people can say some interesting things that are not in, taken at face value and never safe to do. But I do appreciate your call. Thank you very much. I'm sorry I had to cut that for time. 11:49 is our time, 11 before noon. Final break now. Phone line still open, 884-9910. And you have last segment to call in, and we'll talk about anything you bring up here. I'm John Potter. It's all live and local.
Well, most of it.
775-884-9910 on 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk.
All the information for the entire Northern Nevada area.
They are bringing more illegals every day.
On one radio station.
At this point, I just kind of assume every politician is dirty.
Welcome to FM News Talk 99.1 and 92.3 FM. News, talk, truth, truth.
John Potter, live and local on Saturdays, 9 to noon on these radio stations. Thanks, folks, for tuning in. 884-9910. I mentioned that jobs report just a couple of minutes ago. And I got to say, if you look closely at the jobs report numbers, more than 180,000 jobs in this week's report, they were low-paying positions. They were hospitality, tourism, and healthcare workers. The higher paying jobs like manufacturing and transportation, they lost jobs. So while the gain in low paying jobs is good for those employees, the kind of jobs that actually make a difference to the economy, like the higher paying tech and white collar jobs, those are shrinking. So I'm not buying the whitewash that the president, the Democrats, and their friends, the media are trying to sell with this hyperbole about those were great numbers. Like I did as a news anchor, I look beyond the PR cheerleading and the press releases, and I look at the specifics. Low-paying jobs are up. High-paying jobs are down again. And the reality, folks, is that the economy is still shrinking, and inflation, media's been saying for a year, it's dropping. No, it's still above the 2%. That they want to keep it at, that the Fed wants to keep it at. The latest number is over that. So I don't see inflation. Well, I certainly don't see it buying stuff in the supermarket and buying gas. I don't see it there. Elsewhere in the news today, you might be interested, the genetic testing company 23andMe is struggling. The turmoil has raised deep concerns about what might happen to the data it's collected from millions and millions of customers, I bet. What else happened on the international front this week? Tunisia's president, I pronounce this right, Kaya Salad, won re-election Monday. His leading challenger didn't get to really campaign because he was in prison the whole time. Well, that certainly helps. Just a reminder how lucky we are to live in the greatest country in the world. And Election Day is now a mere 3 weeks and 3 days away. In Washoe County, the ballots were mailed out this week. Early voting starts a week from today, next Saturday, the 19th. Oh, my gosh. Registration is available till October 22nd. Speaking of the election, yesterday's Wall Street Journal poll of seven swing states, yes, Nevada, still one of those, of course, shows Kamala Harris and Donald Trump still neck and neck with 24 days remaining until Election Day and early voting already underway in some states. Nevada, the Wall Street Journal poll shows in our state, Trump ahead by 5 points, 47% to 42%. In the other six states, Harris is ahead by 1 or 2 points in Arizona, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Georgia, while Trump holds a one-point edge in Pennsylvania, a very important state, and North Carolina. A lot of hand-wringing on the mainstream media over this yesterday, where, by the way, I hear an awful lot about why people are voting for Harris, but the media never presents why people are going to vote for Trump. They just show the numbers, and then the story turns out to be, well, it's a close race, without actually exploring the reasons that Trump is right up there. They have to be wondering why, after all the negative stories that they've done on this guy, Is he still ahead in that many states? But they never go on to ask their experts why. It's sort of presented as, well, those are red districts, and or here's a big one, people bought into his lies, which is insulting to almost half the country that wants to vote for him. We're dumb. That's why it's close. But like CNN must be curious, wow, he's still tied after all the negative stuff we've done. But they never tell us why Trump is ahead. And it's because people are fed up with the inflation and the crime and the border. I think they know those reasons, but they just don't want to show them. It's inflation with 20% higher prices, people not affording the things they used to. It's the border, money diverted to migrants over Americans, and the crime, which the White House says is down dramatically. At the same time, more stores are locking up the products, and your insurance went way up because of car thefts. Well, all right, I'm through, which is a good thing. How much more of me can you take? I'm John Potter. I'll be back next Saturday, 9 to noon. I'd love hearing from you folks. Feel free to go to my Facebook page, John Potter, and email the radio station, and we'll answer your questions next Saturday. Have a great weekend, folks. Bye-bye.